Hello, my name is Johnny Gartner, and welcome to the Cedar 60 podcast. At Cedar 60, our mission is to engage with culture and politics from the distinctive lens of the gospel. Today, we are excited to have Ms. Elisa Hooper and Mr. Peter Greer on the podcast to discuss their work at Hope International. Ms. Hooper, Mr. Greer, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So before we kind of get into your work at Hope International, I was hoping maybe we could dive into just a little bit of your individual personal backgrounds, kind of building up to, you know, like your history and kind of how that affects your work at Hope. So Elisa, if you want to start with you, maybe, you know, say what your current role is at Hope and then talk about your background, and we'll jump from there.
Sure. My name is Elisa. I am from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. My husband and my family live here, and I'm a Cedarville grad. So this is an exciting conversation. Thanks for the invitation. I got to study business and communications and, of course, Bible at Cedarville, and really enjoyed my time there, setting a foundation for looking at the world through a biblical lens. And that was a really formative time. Got to spend time in some of the business student organizations. Enactus was SIFE at the time and played on the tennis team and just really loved my time there. So excited to be talking about Cedarville today. And as far as my role at Hope, I spent 10 years at Hope on the recruiting team and HR team, and recently transitioned from that role to be on the board and sitting in that seat now, which allows me to be home with my family more and still involved with the mission and vision of Hope, which I really love. So it's an exciting new role for me. And that's, that's a little bit of my story and my history.
And Peter, if you want to take it away too, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Sure, absolutely. And I want to echo what Elisa said. Thanks for having us and for this conversation. And while I am not a grad, I get to work with a lot of Cedarville grads. And there is something special happening on that campus with that student body and that alumni base. So so much appreciation for this conversation and for the Cedarville community. But I remember the moment when I first heard about the term microfinance and microenterprise development. And that was a turning point in my life. I was studying in Moscow, and I had lunch with an individual, and he heard about my interest in business and entrepreneurship, and he heard about my interest in missions and poverty alleviation. And he said, "Have you ever heard of microfinance?" And at that time, there was someone named Muhammad Yunus, who was really one of the pioneers in the space. He won a Nobel Peace Prize several years later for his work, but really trying to figure out how do we invest in the latent capacity of individuals around the world. And so I heard about that, just absolutely fascinated, and then had the opportunity to go, and it's really been my career, starting in Cambodia, doing internal controls and fraud prevention with a microfinance institution, working with World Relief. And then I went to Zimbabwe and then graduate school. And while I was in graduate school, did a project on Hope International. And I was in the Democratic Republic of Congo, had another lunch with an individual named Eric, who was working with Hope. He was the president at the time. And after spending a week together, he said, "I know you're graduating in several months. Would you have any interest in joining the team?" And that was 18 years ago that I have been with Hope International. But I will just say one thing is just the journey with Hope and Elisa. I mean, this has been her world as well in the space of how do we really combine faith and finance in ways that really make a meaningful impact on physical and spiritual poverty. It has been so incredible to see the church wake up to this new way of helping. It's been so exciting to hear more and more students saying, "I'd love to get engaged." And it really has been fun to be part of what I would say is just the timing has been right, not just for Hope International, but there are more and more people thinking more creatively about how we make an impact in the world. And that has been an absolute joy to be on that journey.
I really loved how you said poverty alleviation and missions. I think the, you know, development as a topic, which I'm about to ask a question on, has kind of been a really important issue over the last several years. You know, what's the church's role in it? What's America's role in it? So it's really awesome, the work that you guys are doing. If you could maybe start, Peter, just kind of talking broadly about what economic development is and how HOPE and microfinance fits into that umbrella.
Johnny, we only have a few minutes, and that's going to be that's a tall order on that. But I will say kind of the broader field of economic development is just this growing recognition that for a long time, we looked at the problem of poverty, and the message that was sent by nonprofits and by churches is, hey, we in the West have got to do something to solve that problem. And in that sort of a model, it was always an import model. It was always, let's have our surplus food supplies, let's ship things over, let's solve their problems. And again, I believe there is a time and a place for that. But if we're not careful, that sort of an approach can actually miss what we believe, which is every individual is created with gifts and abilities. In the opening pages of Scripture, we see God as a creative God. We see God as the creator. And then we learn that we are made in the very image of God. And that means every single individual has that ability to be reflecting that same level of creativity and creation. And so how that impacts the way that we think about economic development is, instead of we're going to go in and do for others, what if we would stop just for a little bit and say, what has God already gifted you? What has God already put in your hands? What dreams, what abilities, what desires? And then how can we walk alongside you in that process? And so that is for us a very different kind of foundation, which is not we're under no illusion that we can go in and try and solve all the problems. We're going to instead find incredible individuals. And partner with them. And just one real simple example of that. So there's an individual, Leah. And Leah started in a savings group, and she ended up getting access to capital, ended up starting a micro enterprise, and she ended up just having this wonderful kind of chance of starting real small but growing a business. But here's the important part, is then watching Leah as she was having a little more finances, what do you think she did with that? Well, she reads the same Bible that you and I read, and she has that same mandate to love God and love my neighbor. And so she got to work loving her neighbors. For her, it was putting a well in her community. For her, it was bringing in kids that were needed a home, and she brought them into her home, caring for the orphan. And so if we're not careful, the message that we can buy into is, you know, we've got to go and do all that without ever realizing that Leah is in the community. And there are millions and millions of Leahs that if we partner with them, if we see them kind of flourish, they're going to be the ones that are going to have the impact on their community. And that just leads to an entirely different and much more sustainable way of thinking about helping others.
That's so awesome. It really is, I think, a unique perspective on how to, you know, aid people in other countries, brothers and sisters in Christ. We did an entire episode recently with Dr. Stephen Smith. He's a professor from Hope College, who you and I mutually know through a connection at the American Enterprise Institute. But we did a whole episode on that, so I encourage people to go listen to that. But Alisa, if you want to quickly talk about kind of what the mission is of Hope and kind of, you know, along what Peter's been talking about and kind of the ways it achieves that in the U.S. and in around the world.
Sure. I love the stories that Peter shared, the ripple effect that happens when transformation happens in a person and then their family, their church, and their community. But Hope is really focused not just on that material impact, but a holistic impact. It's personal, it's material, it's social, and spiritual, right? That we see a lot of times helping spiritually or helping materially, but Hope's focus is really on helping the whole person. And so I think that's been beautiful to see. When that happens, it transforms a person and really a whole community.
That's really great. I think one of my struggles with this podcast is, you know, it often sometimes seems like, you know, how do you integrate immigration and Christianity. And obviously there's ways that you can do that. But I think this really demonstrates that, you know, that development to promote human flourishing is really essential to working out of our faith. So if you could talk a little bit, both of you, we can start with Peter and then move to Elisa, you know, kind of talk what sets Hope apart from some of these other institutions that aren't integrating faith and in this development of human flourishing together.
Yeah, the first thing I would say is we are so thankful for every organization that's in this space. By some estimates, it's no more than 25% of the global demand for these types of services are being met. So we celebrate and are in wonderful relationships with all kinds of different organizations. And if anyone wants to know kind of the subset that we're in of those individuals and organizations that are doing it from an intentional and overtly Christ-centered way and lens, I encourage them to check out the Christian Economic Development Network. And that's where we kind of develop friendships and share best practices and learnings together as well. But in terms of Hope, I would say our core methodology of how we think about integrating the physical and the spiritual is really in these three different categories. So again, we use the tools of microfinance, microenterprise development. We do formal or informal banks, and then we also do savings groups, almost like mini credit unions, all designed to match capital to entrepreneurs to create, launch, and scale ventures. But then your question about, so how do we incorporate our faith? What does that actually look like? There's three different pieces in it, and we try to keep everything really simple at Hope. So the first is who we are. We believe it's impossible to give something that we don't have, so we take it very seriously of who we recruit and all of us wanting to make sure that we are growing in our relationship with Jesus as we are going about this work. So the first is who we are. The second is how we work. And that's the question of integration into operations. And maybe the easiest way to describe that is just when these groups gather, it's so much more than just a financial transaction. So we talk about these five W's when the groups meet that they go through, and it's welcome. We want people to feel seen and loved from the minute they walk in the door. Then there's a time of worship. Something incredible happens when we just remember we have a lot of reasons to be thankful and invite God's presence. So welcome, worship, and then the word, which is really a very simple obedience-based approach to scripture, where read a passage of scripture, retell it in our own words, and then say, what would it look like if we live that out today? What would that look like? So welcome, worship, word, and then the work. And that's where the savings happens. It's where the loans happen. It's where the business training or agricultural training happens. And then the last thing is a wrap up. What are we going to do differently as a result of what we just experienced? So first, who we are. Second, how we work. And that's woven, our faith is woven into the very fabric of all of our operations. And then the third is how we serve the church. There will be a day that Hope International will no longer be here, but we believe the church is going to be the presence. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? We know that the church is going to be the institution ordained by God. And so in every place that we serve, we want to actively reach out, partner creatively through local churches, and make sure that we are equipping them as they go about the mission that God has given them to do in their community as well. So who we are, how we work, and how we serve the church are how we think about what we term spiritual integration, making sure faith and the gospel is woven into all aspects of who Hope is and what we do.
I thank you. Elisa, if you have anything to add, you know, maybe talk a little bit about kind of how the board helps navigate Hope, you know, in that mission of the things Peter just listed, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that was a great summary of spiritual integration. I think that that term is beautiful, that we're infusing Christ into all of Hope's work. So that's loan officers, not just collecting a loan, but also asking questions of how are you doing? How's your spiritual walk? And coming alongside someone on that personal level. So the board's really focused on the mission and the vision of that. And the staff has done an incredible job carrying that out on a day-to-day basis.
So we've talked a lot about some of those institutions that you use at Hope to, you know, bring that integration and development, but also spiritual formation. The main one we've heard is microfinance. If you could, Peter, quickly give a brief, I know this is the time constrained of podcast, if you could kind of just give a brief intro to what microfinance is, a brief history, and kind of how it is applied at Hope.
Sure. Yeah. So again, imagine if you are born in Burundi, and imagine if you have a family and you have, you know, four kids, and you want to figure out how can I provide for them. There are not many formal jobs in Burundi. So in some way, everyone has to be an entrepreneur. Everyone has to find some way of providing for their families when there is the informal economies where most of individuals are working. But there's a problem. You've got this idea. You're great with a needle and thread. Imagine if you could get a sewing machine. Imagine the increased productivity. But there's like this huge problem because a sewing machine costs about $100. And in a place where the average income is, still the majority of the population lives on less than $2 a day, that is a very large amount of money. So you go to a bank and a bank says, okay, no problem. We'll give you a loan for this sewing machine. We just need to have your credit history. We need to have the ability to verify your cash flow. We need to have collateral for this. And we need to have you fill out all of these forms. That is an obstacle that most individuals who are living in poverty cannot cross, right? So there's a problem that the formal way that finance is accessed intentionally excludes the most vulnerable, the marginalized, because it's too great a risk. But I say, oh man, isn't that a great place for the church to show up? The church is inherently risky. Like, let's go on that. So the question is, what can we do to find ways of having a system that invests in those individuals and still makes wise decisions on who receives that capital? Because you can hurt individuals. If they receive capital and don't use it wisely, that actually can hurt them and their relationships and their finances. You can be worse off. So all that to say is, this is really what Muhammad Yunus found, is it is possible to have not a physical collateral, but to have a social collateral. So what that means is the group gathers together, everyone is opting in, no one is forced to be a part of this, and an individual can have access to an individual loan, but then it is a group guarantee. So a group of your peers that are also getting their loans, they say, if Peter doesn't repay, Alisa and Johnny, you guys have said, I'll cover his payment that week. Now, what do you think that does in terms of a screening process? You have a very high motivation to make sure that I am going to invest those funds wisely. You have a very high incentive to help me if things start going south. And this is why meeting regularly is so important, where we're all giving updates. Anyone having struggles this week? How can we come alongside that individual? You're sick right now? Let me plow your fields, because I know if you don't plant right now, you're going to be in trouble. I'm going to the capital city. Who needs me to pick up their additional inventory for them? So it really brings a group of individuals together. And the result for Hope International over the last 5 years, we have a 97% repayment rate. And in our history, we've served 2.5 million families and invested $1.3 billion in their dreams and their businesses and their enterprises. And I think we are just getting going.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I think in a world where government spends tons of money, it's easy to, you know, think that that money might be small, but that's an insane number considering the small kinds of loans that you guys are giving and the, you know, the number of people they're serving. So that's really awesome work. Alisa, maybe you could talk, being a Cedarville grad, we have a lot of Cedarville students and alumni who listen to this podcast, but there's also a lot of other people who listen to this podcast. So maybe if you could talk about your path to Hope and how that could look for other students, attenders of Christian universities and attenders of non-Christian universities, and kind of how you can enter this space at Hope or enter this space outside of Hope and really, you know, kind of bring that passion for economic development, but also that passion for missions to bear.
Sure. So grew up with hope. I had the opportunity to travel when I was young and to see what God was doing around the world. And I really had this strong call to be part of it and a desire to be part of what God was doing. And I remember really struggling with what should I study? It felt like this big question to me, you know, should I go into missions? Should I study social work? There were so many options. And it felt like a really big decision at the time. And found this path of business and communications. And it was this blend of what fit my gifts and skills and how I could help to hopefully solve a need in the world. And so that gave me this great foundation, and especially that layered on top of a biblical education gave me this great foundation to go into this work of economic development. And so I graduated from Cedarville. I did some local nonprofit work and learned a lot there, actually doing small business loans on a local level, and then transitioned to Hope and was able to use everything that I learned through school, through travel and internships, and then just put that to work and learned so much and was able to then work. I worked in HR and so worked with interns and was able to pass on what I learned to other students, which was a lot of fun. So I would say to students, internships are such a great opportunity to learn. If you're able to spend your summer at a nonprofit like Hope, we would love to have you. but anywhere, really, it's a great way in such a unique season to put your skills to use, your time and your talents, and see what you like and what you enjoy doing. And it's a great way to find a path for the future. So that's my internship plug.
There you go. That's a really great answer. I really appreciate it. I think we're uniquely positioned at a time in this country where we're rightly focusing on issues at home, but there's also, some contention over what our role overseas is. Maybe if you could both talk about why the work of Hope is so critical to, you know, reaching our brothers and sisters in Christ and the unreached around the world, and why Christian college students and Christians listening to this podcast should be invested in the mission that Hope is working on. Lisa, if you want to start, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. So I have been reading through the Gospels a lot this year, especially, and I've been reading through the Gospels each month. And so I'm hearing a lot of the same stories, right? And it's really clear that God cares for the vulnerable. I mean, Jesus' work was caring for those in need. And we see that he cares for physical needs and spiritual needs. And so I think for me, it's really simple that because Christ commands us to, and he modeled that for us. I think as Christians, our lives should overflow with mercy and compassion. And so that's what I desire to do as I see that in scripture. The caring for the least of these, as we see in the Gospels.
Yeah, and I would just add to that the question of, I mean, in some ways, is it a choice? Is it the right choice to say, should we care for the needs in our own country, or should we care for individuals that are suffering around the world? And in some way, I don't know that on the multiple choice question is A or B. I think it's C, all of the above. And I think we see that modeled in Jesus. What are we supposed to do? Who's supposed to hear about the good news? Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And all are important. And there's a problem if we are only focused on around the world and we are walking by needs right in our community. There's a problem if we're so excited about serving Jesus by going on a short-term trip and not excited about serving Jesus on a Monday morning. There's a problem there. But in a similar way, I think there's also an opportunity to say, let's have our lives that are actively exploring what does it look like for Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And I love that Hope is a way of For me and our family and our friends and our community, like reaching some places, being a bridge to a lot of places of real suffering around the world. And I love that we celebrate and participate in a lot of other ministries and outreach events and activities here in Lancaster County where we live. So I would just say Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's the geography that I want to be thinking about.
Can you hear me now? Technological issues, sorry. So we've talked about internships. We've talked about the work you guys do overseas, the work you do locally. If you could talk just broadly, maybe start with you, Elisa, what are needs that Hope has now? How can the church, how can members of the church, how can individuals help fill those needs?
Yeah, I would say first, I think educating ourselves is a great way to get started there, that we can learn how about the best ways to help, right? Excuse me, there's some great books to read. When Helping Hurts, Toxic Charity are some great books that kind of hit our space of the best ways to help. Peter's written some really great books, which are also great reads, and just good ways to learn. And I think two, it's, you know, we get involved with using your time and your talents and your treasure. So if you have talents, you know, get involved in, maybe it's a career or an internship. If you have the ability to travel, join us on a trip and kind of see what Hope is doing. So I think those are some great ways. And of course, we really appreciate people praying for Hope's work too. We have, that's an important part of what we're doing is praying for our clients, praying for our staff, and praying for the mission and vision of Hope.
Peter, if you want to add to that, you're more than welcome.
No, that was perfect.
Right. Well, I really appreciate both of you coming on today. It's a tradition on the Cedar 60 podcast to give our guests the last 60 seconds to share any concluding thoughts, you know, their heart for the issues. So, Peter, if you want to start, I'll give you each 60 seconds to just kind of wrap up our thoughts and discussion here today.
All right. 60 seconds. I would say, you know, just maybe circling back to the question that you asked, Johnny, about the kind of what are ways to get engaged. And, you know, I remember when I graduated from undergrad, there's one part of my story that I didn't share in the intro, but that was that I sent my resume and cover letter to every organization that I could find that was doing microenterprise development. And I heard back from zero of them, zero. And I remember moving home, living in my parents' basement with this dream to be engaged in this tool and sector and feeling like there was, every door was shutting. I ended up getting another job for a couple years. And in retrospect, it was exactly the training that I needed. I was working at a private school and I got real world experience that I didn't know that I needed at the time. And so I would just say, even in those moments where if the job doesn't quite seem, keep learning, keep growing, keep having conversations, keep having those coffees with individuals that are doing the type of work that you're interested in, keep having the courage to reach out, hold on to hope, and continue to say, God, would you guide me in your way, in your time? And I think that our stories oftentimes make more sense when we look back than we're in the midst of it, when we can see the different steps and stages and how they link. So I would just say, hold on to hope and keep taking those next steps, even in the times when it's a little bit hard to see how all of it fits together.
Yeah, that's great. I would just add, for those that are still in classes and undergrad, soak up the experience. College is like no other time in life. It's such a special time to learn and grow. And yeah, I would say take the class, join the org, make the friends. It's really a once in a lifetime experience. And you're making friends for a lifetime and experiences that you'll carry forever. So soak it up.
I am particularly thankful for that advice. You know, as I'm getting ready to graduate, a lot of people, you know, we're having these kinds of conversations. And so it's really helpful to hear from people like yourselves who are really doing the work that, you know, that interests me, that passions, that interests other people. So thank you so much to the both of you for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You, Johnny.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Cedar 60 podcast. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to engage culture and politics from the distinctive lens of the gospel. Please make sure to share this episode and like and subscribe on all of our major platforms. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time.